I want to tell you something funny. Speaking of telling an old, old story, this one is from back in the day. About 32 years ago. Some of you wasn't even here then, but some of us were. And this is an old, old story, and I know it's true too, because I heard it myself. It's funny. 32 years ago, I believe we had a missions conference weekend, or it might have been a missions month. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was an emphasis on our missionaries. I think Reverend Gamble was here at the time as our pastor. We had acorn banks to bring to the altar to pour out all our change and see what we were going to give for missions. And I think the first weekend or the first night of missions conference, we had Jimmy and Roxanne Cox here. And I know most of you remember them. And Jimmy and Roxanne, I think, were going to Africa. And also at that time, we had a little committee here. I've sort of named it myself, the critique committee. Under the guise, he's not going as a minister or a missionary. He is going under the impression that he really was an engineer who could get water for these people. Can you imagine living somewhere in the boondocks of Africa and having to go to the river to get a bucket of water to tote back 2 or 3 miles to bathe that night or to drink? He was going to show them how to dig wells and get water. I told my friend, I said, they are going to take him in. And I said, she is so gung-ho and energetic, they're going to be successful. I said, he's going to be able to get water for those people right there at their little thatched hut. And he's going to be able to tell them about Jesus right there. And what a missionary experience for them. Well, the next weekend, this was 32 years ago. This was before Dr. Ray Yoder and Mrs. Yoder. Paula and Ray came. And they were a young married couple 32 years ago, young and wanted to be missionaries to Africa. I said, can you imagine? My cohort said, I think they'll be successful. Oh, let me take you back a little bit further. At that time, Ray had this eating disorder. He couldn't eat anything here. How was he going to eat anything there? He was going right into where they had malaria, all kind of diseases, but they were anxious and willing to go. So I said, I don't know if they're going to make it. The other person on my critique committee said, yeah, they make it. I said, how do you figure that? He said, well, she's a nurse. Half of them there has got malaria. She's going to fit right in, giving them shots. They go take her in immediately. He said, that little skinny one, they go boil and eat him. But William and I thank the Lord that we were not prognosticators of what was really going to happen. Because 32 years later, 33 years later, they didn't need him. And they're still ministering the word of Jesus. In Sunday school this morning, they told us about how they've helped to translate the language in Mozambique, Portuguese, and it's just amazing what they've done in 30-something years to spread the word of Jesus. And we're thankful to have been a part of it from the very start. We started supporting them, probably not with very much money, comparatively speaking, but we supported them financially and with our prayers, and we still do that to this day. They're two of our favorites, and we appreciate them being here today. And Dr. Yoder, he's grown up since then, 30-something years ago. He's going to have our message this morning. We thank you all for coming.
Be a song afterwards. You have a song afterwards?
No.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. I have gained a few pounds since then. This morning, I want to talk about the word abounding from Scripture. But before I do that, before we turn to 2 Corinthians, I want to talk a little bit about God. This morning, Paul mentioned some of the differences between what Christians believe and what Muslims believe, and that their eyes are veiled from really seeing God. That is true. There are many, many things they don't know about God, and many things that they have are wrong. I grew up loving science, and I still love science. And if I want to relax at times, I'll get my phone or my computer or a tablet, and I would just read something about science. One thing that is really awesome to me is God's creation. They say that there are over 2 billion stars. That there are over 2 billion galaxies. The Aries galaxy has over 2 billion stars. And scientists, they have tried to follow how big the universe is. They don't know. Recently, they're still undecided whether we know a lot about the universe, or maybe we can only see and understand 2-3%, or not even that. The universe might go on forever, some scientists are saying. So, as we look at God creating the heavens and the earth, the universe, we can say that He's a God over the macro, over galaxies, over stars. Some stars are thousands and millions of times bigger than our star, or our sun, on and on. But then there's another part of science to me that is fascinating. And that is the science of quantum physics. Not the grand macro, but the micro of the subatomic level. You know that scientists these days, they can take 2 very tiny particles, like photons, and they can somehow get them together, and they call it entanglement. And they can split it apart, and then they can make one of these photons turn upside down. And even if the other photon would be thousands of miles away, that other photon, one experiment was 90,000 miles away, that other photon actually flipped when they flipped that first photon. Now, a photon is a subatomic particle, extremely small. And yet, God in the Bible, God controls the universe, the stars, the sun, the galaxies, and He controls the atoms and the subatomic particles. God is the God of the macro and the micro. We cannot fathom. We will never be able in our finite minds to fathom the greatness, the vastness of God. Now, as we think about this how great God is, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, Paul had gone to the church at Corinth a few years earlier. He was there for 18 months, established the church, and he left. The church had a lot of problems in there. And at that time, Paul had sent various letters trying to encourage and help the church. But now he himself was getting ready to take another journey. This was on his third missionary journey. He was getting ready to go back to Jerusalem. And he had heard all of these reports of the church in Jerusalem and the church in Judea. And the church was extremely poor. They were persecuted by the Jewish leaders. They were living in poverty. And that really got on Paul's heart. And so Paul decided that he was going to take a gift from the various Christians in the area that he was at serving, and he was going to take that gift back to the Jewish Christians who were in poverty, and to just bless them with that gift. And so, as he was writing the book of the Epistle of 2 Corinthians, he wrote many different things or different ideas and tried to encourage the Christians one way and another way and many different ways. And finally, he said, I am also warning you to do one thing. I want you to, on the first day of the week, to bring together God's blessings to you. And I'm going to take this blessing back with me to Jerusalem, and there we will bless the Christians who are living in poverty. So read with me. Let's start at verse 8 of chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians. Now, at the first of this chapter, he started to talk about this gift that he wanted to send. So we're going to jump in halfway through his request. And in verse 8, after he said he is saying to give generously, in verse 8 he says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. I am reading from the NIV. So that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, many will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray. Father, as we look a few moments at your word that Paul gave to the church at Corinth, we pray that you will open up our hearts and our minds as we look at some of the things Paul said through your spirit in this passage. And help us, Father, to know that we that it is your desire that we abound to every good work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look verse by verse at this chapter, these verses right now. Let's start again at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. And God is able to make all charis, grace. What is grace? Grace is something that is given to us by God out of His love for us, which we really don't deserve. It is nothing within ourselves that requires God to say, I have to give that gift to you, to Him. No. Grace is something given freely that we don't deserve. Now, I'm going to read this verse two different times. I'm going to change one word four times in this verse. And so the word that I'm going to change is all or every. Now, in Greek, there is only one word that Paul used here. The word is pas. And from that, in English, we have to sometimes use the word all, and sometimes you have to use the word every, depending upon English grammatical rules. But it's the same, this one word in Greek. So let's read it and just see what happens here. Verse 8. And God is able to make every grace abound to you, so that in everything, at all times, having everything that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, we can say all. Verse 8 again. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in all works. The concept is that grace is one of those things that whether it's one grace, many grace, whatever, whether we speak in English, grace only, in Greek, you can make grace plural. So you can have 1,000 different graces in Greek. And Paul, I got in this idea that God will give 1,000 different graces to us, or 10,000 different graces. Paul used the word all. Every type of grace that is known that God gives, God will give. Not just a simple grace, let's say the grace of meeting our financial needs. No, that's only one. The grace of having family around about us. The grace of being able to get up and go to work. The grace of having loved ones and friends that help us when things get tough. The grace of having a pastor every Sunday that encourages us. We can go on and on and on and list 1,000+1 graces. Grace. It's unfortunate to me that we cannot say graces in English. You have to say grace because you can't make grace plural. But Paul can. And here Paul says that God will give you every different type of grace that there is in order to do something. So let's look again. And God is able to make every type of grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, under every single circumstance, whether you are working, whether you are living, you're at a house, whether you're at church, whether you are with friends, every time that we can imagine, every type of things that we can imagine, all grace, every type of circumstance, every, all different times, one more grace, one more all. And what is that? You will abound in every work. Again, Paul used all in the plural. Every type of work. We can also name 1,001 different types of works that we as Christians do. Now, remember, as I opened up, I talked about the greatness of God. God doesn't have a problem with trying to give us things. He wants to give us things. He wants to bless us. But there is a huge difference between what some people are thinking about God wanting to bless us and what is talking about here. In Africa, we have this huge problem with what is called prosperity gospel. You heard people here promoting prosperity gospel. I don't know how big. Is it really big in South Carolina? But basically, it's the concept that God is wanting to make everyone rich. And if you're not rich, it means that you are doing something wrong. And let's figure out whether it's sin or whatever it is. Let's get that out. Let's take care of that, and then you will be rich. And that, I believe, is destroying a lot of Christians and a lot of ministries in Africa. But it's not talking about that here. What it's talking about here is that God, if you want to bless someone, if you want to glorify God in helping out someone, if you want to bless someone by encouraging or by giving a little gift or by doing this or by doing that, if you want to do that so that God will be glorified, God in His greatness, He has the resources that He will make it happen. We went to Mozambique this last time. Like many times, we have four suitcases to go. Half of those suitcases were filled with stuff that we were going to give away. This time, we had about 40 to 50 pounds of seeds because 7 to 8 months ago, there were two cyclones about 6 weeks back, back-to-back cyclones. They call hurricanes cyclones in the Indian Ocean. And so it wreaked havoc to Mozambique. And so we had 40-plus pounds of seeds that we were going to give to the needy in Mozambique. We divided it up into 19 packets, with each packet having what, maybe 12, 13, 14 different packages of seeds. And now the church gave us, I don't know, 70, 80, 90 pairs of reading glasses. Now, in my past, I worked in an optical shop, so I knew how to help people understand which strength they need. So we had that. We had a box of sheets for whiteboards that you could peel off and make whiteboards with. We also had $200 to bless the pastors. Now, God, none of this we were using our own money. We were using the resources from other people. But because we prayed, Paula prayed, I prayed, other people prayed, that we could bless the people in Mozambique, all at once God was making it so that we could take these things and bless people. And we went there, and those of you who saw the presentation an hour or so ago, you saw the people there receiving some of the blessings. You saw Jerome receiving a blessing of 25 so kilos of food. Why? Because people wanted to bless others, and God made it happen. And that is what missions is all about. That is what ministry is all about. That is what we as a church, of the Southern Methodist Church. We are here to bless people. And if you are serious about blessing people, God will make it happen. He is not limited with finances. He created the solar system. He created the galaxies. And He created every single atom. And He created every single subatomic particle. He has the resources. And He wants to give us the resources to bless others so that it will glorify and honor God Himself. That's where this differs from the prosperity gospel. God gives us blessings so that we can be blessings. And so if you want to be a little blessing, God will make it happen and He'll give us something little and we can be a little blessing. If we want to be a big blessing, God will give us something to make it happen so that we can be a big blessing. Let's go on. There's a key word here I want us to talk about. And verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, and in all you need, you will abound in every good work. Verse 9, as it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor, and His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Let's zero in on the word seed. There are two words for seed in Greek. If you look at the second word for seed, it is unique here. Let's read it again. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of. We don't have that word for seed. Maybe on some versions say crops, but it means planted seed. It's not the seed that we just got through giving the people in Mozambique. Maybe it is now, because at least now, maybe in a week or two, that seed will be planted, and then it will be that kind of seed. He will enlarge our planted seed. In other words, it is something that we have to put to work for His glory. It's not something that we keep on the shelf. It's not something that we collect and store and store and store and say, look at this, I have this resource, I have that resource. No. It is something that is in the ground growing. And as it grows, that is why God is going to increase, to multiply, to magnify. So, coming back to the blessings that God gives us. He gives us blessings, but He is waiting and watching and hoping that we will take those blessings and that we will plant those blessings and those blessings will grow. And that we will take the effort to cultivate those blessings so that other people will be blessed. And what will they do? Let's see. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Remember the time that God spoke with Abraham? He said that in you will all nations be blessed. We, as Christians, we are on the genealogy of that blessing, the descendant of that blessing. And it's still as Christians that God has blessed us so that in His children, people around the world will be blessed. As Paul and I sought, when we were in Mozambique, to bless those people with resources, not our own, but resources given by other people. We made it where they were blessed. And what do they do? I think an eye, or eyes, or a pool of tears, as we listen to those nine people that received the food, and they ended up singing and dancing and praising God for God's provision, not for Paulus and my provision, but for God's provision. They glorified God. They were thankful to God. They praised God because people like you yourselves gave us resources to bless them. And we blessed them, and they blessed God. And God was glorified. That's missions. That's ministry in South Carolina. That's ministry here. Being a blessing to others. Let's look at this blessing. The service that you performed in verse 11 is not only supplying the needs of God's people. So, one thing, it helps other people in their need, other Christians, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So, there are two things being done here. One is fulfilling our needs, and one is sending praises upward, praising God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, because of the service of we are Christians and we are helping other people as being grateful for what God has done for us. Because of that service by which you have proved yourselves, you will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable grace. God gives us blessings. I've been blessed so much as a Christian. I can tell you stories and stories of blessings, not only in Cameroon, but also in Mozambique. But God looks and encourages me to take those blessings that he gives me into, should I say, plant them, to make them grow, to cultivate those blessings so that I can bless other people. I can take a little bit of God's blessings to me and I can bless others, or I can take more and more and more. And I keep on praying that God will help me to not be stingy, because it's easy to be stingy. Because all around me I can do this, I can do that with money. But to be generous with what God has been generous to me, so that people will be blessed and by meeting their needs to glorify God in heaven. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts. So, I leave you the challenge to take God's blessings to you and plant them so that other people will be helped and so that other people will glorify God in heaven. That's the message of missions, that's the message of ministry, that's the message of God to us as his children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for blessing us. Everywhere we turn, you bless us. And as we look at your greatness, we cannot fathom your greatness. And we're now you're saying that you give us all graces. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of types of grace. So that we can take that grace and bless others. Help us to take your blessings to us and bless others. In missions, in ministry, in the work site, at home, and wherever we turn. Help us to be a blessing to others.
because of your indescribable gift to us that came to us through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. So help us every day to seek to bless others because of your blessings and your indescribable gift to us. We pray for this week that you help us this week to do that. Keep us serving you. Keep us growing in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.